Welcome to this Beginner Ableton Live 12 lesson on building a Subweight Sampler Rack Slice using macro controls for jungle and old school drum and bass vibes. In this lesson, we're not just making a sample sound interesting, we're building a controllable atmosphere instrument, something you can play, automate, and shape across an arrangement. The idea is to turn a small break fragment into a deep, dusty, low-end texture that supports the groove instead of fighting it. Think haunted room tone, ghosted break energy, and that classic jungle pressure sitting underneath the drums. A lot of beginner DNB tracks have solid drums and bass, but the space between the hits can feel empty. This rack fills that space with substance. It gives you movement, weight, grit, width, tail, and tension, all from one source sample. So let's build it. First, choose your source sample. The best starting point is a short breakbeat fragment, a snare tail, a kick with room sound, a tom hit, or a little slice of a dusty old break. You do not need a perfect loop. In fact, a slightly rough sample often works better for jungle because the imperfections add character. Drag that sample into a new MIDI track in Ableton Live 12 and load samplers. If you want one focused atmosphere slice, keep it in classic mode. If you want multiple playable slices, you can use slice mode, but for this lesson, we'll keep it simple and use one short region. Focus on a slice that's around 100 to 400 milliseconds long. You want enough body and tail to feel alive, but not so much that it turns into a full loop. The sweet spot is usually a kick tail, snare decay, or break fragment with low mid movement. Now shape the slice inside Sampler. Adjust the start and end so the useful part of the sound is in the spotlight. Try a start position very close to the beginning, then trim the end so the slice feels tight but still has a little release. If the sample feels too clicky, move the start slightly later. If it feels too thin, extend the tail a bit. For filtering, start with a low pass 12 or low pass 24. Put the cutoff somewhere around 120 to 300 Hz to begin with, and add just a little resonance. You're not trying to make a bright percussion hit here. You're trying to make a low, weighted atmosphere. If the sound starts to hiss or click too much, lower the cutoff or trim the start point again. Then set the volume envelope. Keep the attack very short, just enough to avoid a click. Set the decay somewhere around 300 to 900 milliseconds depending on how long you want the texture to bloom. If you want it more percussive, reduce sustain. If you want a longer atmospheric tail, let it ring out a bit more. Release can stay fairly short unless you want a smeared fade. At this point, you should have a sample that feels more like a murky texture than a drum hit. Now let's turn it into a playable rack. Put that sampler inside a drum rack if you want multiple versions of the same source. This is where the instrument really starts to become useful. Duplicate the pad a few times and make variations. For example, one pad can be the original slice, one can be pitched down 5 to 12 semitones, one can be shorter and tighter, and one can be filtered or noisier. Keep the changes simple. On one pad, lower the pitch. On another, shorten the decay. On another, shift the start point slightly. On another, open the filter a bit or close it down more. The goal is not to build a full drum kit. The goal is to create a small family of related atmosphere sounds that you can switch between or layer. This works really well in jungle and old school DNB because those styles often use micro edits of breaks as musical texture. You are basically making your own ghosted break instrument. Next, we map the controls that matter most to macros. This is the fun part, because now the rack becomes performable instead of static. Group the drum rack into an instrument rack if needed, then map your most useful parameters to 8 macros. Keep the mappings musical and predictable. A great starting setup is this. Macro 1 for subweight, which could control utility gain or a filter cutoff point. Macro 2 for dirt, which can control saturator drive. Macro 3 for tone, which can move the filter frequency. Macro 4 for width, which can control utility width or a chorus amount. Macro 5 for tail, which can control the envelope decay. Macro 6 for movement, which can control auto filter LFO amount or rate. Macro 7 for space, which can control reverb dry slash wet. Macro 8 for hit, which can control sample start or pad volume. Use Ableton devices like saturator, auto filter, reverb, echo, utility, and EQ8. Keep the mapping clear. For example, subweight might go from minus 6 dB to plus 3 dB, dirt might go from 0 to 8 dB of drive, tail might go from 250 milliseconds to 1200 milliseconds, and width might go from mono to slightly wider than normal. The key here is not to overcomplicate the rack. Each macro should do one thing you can hear. That way, when you perform or automate it, you know exactly what kind of movement you're getting. Now let's add weight and character. Place a saturator after the sampler or on the rack chain. Start gently. A drive amount around 2 to 6 dB is usually enough to thicken the slice and bring out the harmonics. Turn on soft clip if needed, and trim the output so the level stays controlled. Then add EQ8 after the saturator. If the sound is muddy in an unhelpful way, trim some low end. If it's too clicky or harsh, dip the 2 to 5 kHz range a little. If there's a nice thump in the slice, try a small boost around 80 to 140 Hz. Be subtle. This layer should add pressure, not take over the track. That's a really important beginner note. Do not try to make this rack louder than your drums and bass. In drum and bass, headroom matters. The atmosphere should support the groove, not crowd it. Now let's make it move. Add auto filter and map it to a macro. A low pass 12 or band pass filter works nicely for eerie jungle motion. Use a little LFO amount, maybe 10 to 35%, and set the rate based on the section. A quarter note, eighth note, or one bar sweep can all work depending on the vibe. This is where the rack starts to feel alive. Automate the filter so the atmosphere starts darker in the intro, opens up a little before the drop, gets slightly dirtier or more active in the second half, and then tightens again in transitions. A good arrangement idea is to keep it low and closed for the first 8 bars, then slowly increase decay and width in the next section, then open it more before the drop. Once the drop hits, tuck it back under the drums and bass. In D&B, atmosphere is often about tension and release over phrase lengths, not constant dramatic movement. Now add space carefully. Use reverb with restraint. For old school jungle and darker D&B, you want room. Tunnel or sample haze, not a giant wash that kills the drum impact. Try decay time around 1.2 to 3.5 seconds. Pre-delay around 10 to 25 milliseconds. Dry slash wet around 8 to 20%. And filter the low end out of the reverb so it doesn't muddy the mix. If you want a more rhythmic shadow, try echo instead of or before reverb. Keep it dark, low in the mix, and subtle. The idea is to create depth behind the beat, not to smear everything. At this stage, you should have a playable atmosphere rack with real character. Now make it musical in context. Program a simple MIDI pattern. Try one note every 2 bars for the intro. Then use shorter notes before or after the snare in the drop. Leave spaces so the drums can breathe. This kind of sound works best when it feels intentional, almost like a response to the beat. Also, use velocity as a performance tool. If the same note repeats with exactly the same velocity every time, it can start to feel static. Vary the note velocity a little so repeated hits feel more human and alive. If your drum rack is set up for it, velocity can also influence volume, filter, or sample start, which adds even more subtle variation. Now check the mix. Put utility on the rack and test it in mono. This is especially important if you've added width. If the low end falls apart in mono, bring the width down and keep the sub-heavy part centered. If the rack masks the kick, reduce low frequencies with EQ8. If it fights the snare, dip some of the 200 to 400 Hz range. If it sounds exciting solo but ruins the groove with the drums, it needs less low end, less reverb, or both. A good rule for beginners is simple. The rack should feel powerful when it's in the mix, not just when it's soloed. Let's talk about common mistakes for a second. 1. Making the slice too bright. If that happens, lower the filter cutoff, trim the sample start, or tame the highs with EQ. 2. Using too much reverb. That can make the whole groove blurry. Shorten the decay, add pre-delay, and filter the wet signal. 3. Forgetting mono compatibility. Always check it, especially if you add stereo width. 4. Overlapping too many long notes. In D&B, too much overlap can make the arrangement feel heavy in a bad way. Give the groove some air. 5. Letting this rack compete with the bassline. The lowest octave belongs to your real sub. Keep this layer supportive. 6. Mapping macros that do too much. Beginners should be able to hear exactly what each macro changes. Here are a few pro tips if you want a darker, heavier result. Try saturator before reverb so the reverb smears a grimier source into a darker wash. Make small filter automation moves, because even a tiny change can feel huge over an 8 or 16 bar phrase. If the slice doesn't have enough real low end, layer a very quiet sign or triangle underneath it with something like operator or wave eatable, but keep that sub layer mono and simple. You can also try a bandpass filter for a tunnel or horror vibe. That old sampler box feeling can be perfect for darker rollers. Another great move is to build 3 versions of the rack from the same sample. One version can be dry and compact for busy sections. One can be wide and diffuse for breakdowns. One can be dark and rumbling for intro tension. Same source, different personality. And if the rack sounds good, resample it. Record 8 bars, then slice that recording into new hits and fills. That gives you fresh material you can reuse later in the track. Let's finish with a simple practice plan. Pick one short break fragment and trim it to around 300 to 500 milliseconds. Add saturator, EQ8, and reverb. Map at least 4 macros, sub weight, dirt, tail, and space. Write a simple MIDI pattern with one note every 2 bars for the intro, and a few short notes around the snare and the drop. Automate the macros across 8 bars so it starts darker, opens before the drop, and gets a little dirtier in the second half. Then compare it in stereo and mono and adjust until it still feels solid. If you do that, you'll end up with a usable atmosphere rack that can sit under a jungle intro or a dark DNB drop without cluttering the mix.